mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, more top-notch live entertainment is coming to our area with Tiffin's Ritz Theater announcing their season schedule this week. We get the scoop from Executive Director Michael Strong. Also this morning, to your health, nearly 30% of teens deal with migraines, a condition that can be much more serious than the occasional bad headache. But most treatments are not designed to treat younger patients. And this week in Kyra's Kitchen, we have recipes for those days when it's too hot to cook. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, June 21st, 2024. So did you hear the story earlier this week out of Cleveland? The mayor of Cleveland, Justin Bibbs, released a public comment on a crash that he was involved in last Thursday. Body camera footage has been released of this. Apparently, the mayor's driver, identified as Demetrius Woods, turned on the emergency lights on the SUV as the mayor's vehicle entered the intersection. So he's driving the mayor. And he's approaching an intersection, doesn't want to stop, so he flips on the emergency lights, and sure enough, the mayor's SUV collided with another vehicle. The body camera footage shows Mr. Woods telling officers at the scene of the crash that he had turned on the emergency lights because the mayor needed to get to some kind of important meeting. It was an emergency meeting we needed to get the mayor to, and that's why in the statement issued by the mayor, he said his security detail exhibited bad judgment in the moment. So that's nice. The mayor threw the security detail under the bus. It was very nice. I'm guessing that the mayor probably said, run the light, run the light. And so his driver flipped on the lights and sirens and then caused the accident. And now the mayor's trying to backtrack, saying, well, the security detail exhibited bad judgment. I'm guessing he doesn't do that unless he got instructions from the mayor. So anyway, another story. I thought this was kind of interesting. Another Ohio story on the Newswire. A visitor to the Kings Island Amusement Park remains in critical condition after reportedly getting hit in the head by a roller coaster. And I read that first story, that first line of the story, and I knew exactly what happened. You know what happens, right? The park says the man entered a restricted area around the Banshee roller coaster after allegedly telling an employee that he had lost something on the ride and needed to retrieve it. It's not the first time that this has ever happened, right? With similar consequences. The employee said, hey, there's nothing we can do until the park closes for the night. You can't go in there. It's dangerous. The man ignored those warnings, entered the restricted area, and was struck by the ride. Surprise, surprise. Don't do that. There's a reason why they have the fences there, and it says, keep out. Restricted area. It's dangerous. But, you know, people are dumb. People are dumb. Speaking of dumb people, I saw this story on the Newswire this morning, and I got a chuckle. This is a new survey from the Financial Technology Association. They surveyed 2,000 adults and found that 24% of Americans say they wish their bank was open later. I mean, that's the quintessential joke about bankers' hours, right? They say they wish that the bank was open later. 24%, 54% feel the same way about pharmacies, which is kind of interesting because pre-pandemic, a lot of places were open much later. But ever since, those hours have been restricted. Part of it is because lack of workers, the struggle in finding workforces that can work those extended hours and all of that. And some of it, they just realized we don't need to be open, you know, round the clock anymore to make the same amount of money. It's costing us more to be open round the clock than the money that we're making because people don't have to go out to shop the way they used to, online shopping and all of that. But anyway, apparently people still wish they had that convenient option. Other services that Americans wish stayed open later include grocery stores and auto shops. 31% of those in the survey said that they had to actually take time off from work to make it to a bank or a shipping center on time or something. They had to leave early from work in order to run those errands. And even though the average person, so one in four Americans wished the bank was open later, but the average person only goes to a physical bank about two times per month. So I'm thinking, what are they supposed to be open, you know, round the clock on the odd chance that you might be stopping by? And it doesn't, it gets even better. The survey said, finds nearly one in five, nearly 20% of people say that they would like their primary doctor's office, primary care doctor's office, to be open 24/7. Again, just on the odd chance that they might want to drop by and make an appointment for 2 a.m. They would like their primary doctor's office to be open 24/7. It is unclear when they suggest the doctor should sleep. I mean, come on. Yeah. I don't know. Kind of weird. People are strange. It's all about me, 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 me. That's what I read into that story there. So are you a coffee drinker? This is kind of interesting. I am not a coffee drinker. My wife is. She has to have her morning coffee. I am not a coffee person. And it turns out the reason why is because my parents weren't coffee people. Well, my wife's parents were. A new study from 23andMe suggests that coffee drinking habits may depend on your genes. Researchers used information from 23andMe clients, their client database, and they discovered a genetic link between coffee consumption and genetics. Genes linked to higher coffee consumption were also connected to conditions like obesity and substance abuse. Kind of interesting. So, does that mean you should stop drinking coffee? Well, no, there are a lot of other factors. Caffeine levels, calorie content. There's no cut and dry answer. Cultural and environmental differences also likely play a role in whether your morning cup of coffee is actually good for you or not. But well, that was kind of interesting. Could be come down to your genes, whether you're a coffee drinker. A couple of other items here among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. The California State Fair is lighting up for its 170th anniversary. For the first time ever, visitors to the California State Fair will be allowed to legally smoke pot. At the fair, a cannabis company with 15 dispensaries in the state will have a 30,000 square foot lounge for those of legal age to try cannabis products from around the state. So it's like a tasting center, I guess, or a smoking center. So you can try out different marijuana products from the state. Now that it's legal in California, they can also buy marijuana on site. Virtually, they will use a virtual shopping basket. It won't actually be on site, I guess, and order it virtually, but you can do the shopping there if you find one that you like. It's like a wine tasting thing, but for marijuana. Now, they have had cannabis exhibits and an awards competition over the past couple of years at the California State Fair. This is the first time that people can actually light up the fair. Begins its 17-day run in Sacramento starting July 12th. So, interesting. We'll see how that goes. You know, marijuana, recreational marijuana is legal in this state too, but I don't think the Ohio State Fair is going to have a smoking lounge. Would not expect that anytime soon. And we are now less than 2 weeks away from Independence Day. If you are going to be traveling for the 4th of July, you need to get to the airport early and pack some patience. The Transportation Safety Administration says June 14th saw its second highest recorded number of travelers, with more than 2.92 million people screened. And with the June 14th, people traveling for Flag Day? Apparently so. They say with the July 4th holiday approaching, they are already reminding travelers to get to the airport early. AAA is expecting some 71 million people to travel during the holiday week, week after next, saying that would set a record, goes back pre-pandemic. It's a 5% increase over 2023 and an 8.8% increase compared to 2019. 5.7 million more people will be traveling this 4th of July than even before the year before the pandemic, before we even heard the term social distancing. AAA forecasting 60.6 million people will hit the road. 5.74 million will fly. That's 12% higher than the year before the pandemic. And 4.62 million will take some other form of transportation, the train, the bus, or take a cruise. So traffic analysts are predicting road trips over the holiday week could take up to 67% longer than normal. It could take you almost two-thirds again the length of time to get to your destination as it normally would. So, again, pack your patience if you are traveling for the 4th of July. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly sunny today, a chance of showers or a storm, a high in the mid-90s. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the mid-70s. The Center to Advance Manufacturing hosted a legislative and manufacturer roundtable in Findlay with members from the Ohio House and Senate, industry leaders in Northwest Ohio, and leadership from Owens Community College, University of Findlay, and Bowling Green State University. Tim Miley, executive director of the Center to Advance Manufacturing, on the purpose of getting all these people in the same room.
Listen to the industry leaders, higher education leaders, economic development leaders. What is affecting their decisions every day on policy, on investment, workforce, energy?
Miley says statistically, the region is as strong as ever when it comes to manufacturing. Get more on the roundtable, which was held at the University of Findlay, in this story on our website. Ohio is known for its lakes and rivers, and one state agency is reminding us to use them safely this summer.
The Ohio Department of Natural Resources is urging Ohioans and visitors to the Buckeye State be safe when boating this season. They urge the use of life jackets, but this year is different. With recreational marijuana now legal in the state, the department reminds us that it is still illegal to operate a boat while under the influence. This includes both alcohol and marijuana. It also is illegal for passengers to smoke or vape marijuana while on board. Open container laws apply as well.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. A new report found that chemicals from last year's toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, reached up to 16 states.
Chemicals were detected as far away as Wisconsin, Maine, and North Carolina. Now, this is according to research from the National Atmospheric Deposition Program in the days following the train derailment.
ONN's Matt Rascone reporting. The Hancock County Solid Waste Management District will host a household hazardous waste and paint collection event on Tuesday. It'll be held from 1 to 6 p.m. on Tuesday, June 25th at the Hancock County Fairgrounds and is free for Hancock County residents. Get more details in the story on our website. Don't forget, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Well, you've ever had a migraine? Most of us use that term to describe a really bad headache, but migraines are actually much more than that. It is a disease, and it is one that is complex and largely incurable. Beyond that, according to the Cleveland Clinic, 28% of teens are impacted. That's more than one in four, and yet most migraine treatments, were not developed for or even studied in teenagers. Dr. Carissa Thal is a physician certified in advanced headache diagnosis and management. And Dr. Thal, what specific challenges do teens and adolescents have with respect to living with migraines?
Sure. So adolescents are able to use over-the-counter agents such as acetaminophen or ibuprofen. However, what I tend to see in my clinic setting is because those agents are so readily available, they tend to be overused by the adolescent population. Mm. Now, that can cause a downstream problem, such as rebound headache. There are several prescription drugs that adolescents can take for a migraine attack. And while sometimes they may be effective, they have a poor side effect profile. For example, it can make an adolescent so tired or fatigued after they use this medication that oftentimes they have to leave school, go home, and nap the rest of the migraine off.
Hmm. And are those side effects unique to teenagers? Again, we talk about the fact that many of these treatments were not necessarily developed with teenagers in mind. Is this one of the side effects of that that is particularly unique in that particular age group?
You know, these side effects can happen in adolescents and also adult patients who mm-hmm. use those same medications.
So we talk about the traditional treatments to this point, but now we've got something that is newly developed, relatively new. It is not medication-based and therefore kind of termed non-disruptive. Explain.
Sure. So the Nerivio Ren wearable is a device that's received FDA clearance to treat migraine attacks on an as-needed basis, as well as, if used regularly, has shown to be effective at preventing migraine altogether. Now, this device wraps around the upper arm. It transmits a signal upstream to the brain, and that allows the brain to harness its own capabilities of combating a migraine.
Also joining us this morning, and I want to bring Courtney Clark into the conversation. She is a high school senior who is a patient and patient advocate for teens who are dealing with this issue. Courtney, when were you diagnosed with migraines, and talk about how that impacted your day-to-day life?
Yeah, the first time I experienced a migraine attack was at the age of 7 years old. It's been 11 years, and since then I have learned a lot about the disease and tried a lot of different treatments. And so far, I still haven't found the magic bullet, but Nerivio is really a game changer because it allows me to, instead of, you know, relying on one medication, I have several options that I can switch between treatments, or I can combine them, or, you know, it just makes it a lot easier to manage such a complex disease.
I would imagine that having an option, again, that is not medication-based and preventative can be a game changer for you in this.
For sure, especially because I don't have to deal with side effects. Because I can remember my freshman year, sophomore year of high school, I was trying out these new medications, but, you know, I'd feel an attack coming on. I'm like, okay, let's take this medication. And then within the hour, I'm like knocked out or close to it. And I can't stay awake. And that's not really the state you want to be in when you're trying to learn at school. So I had to adapt to that.
Now, Dr. Thal, you mentioned that this actually works by harnessing the brain's own power to mitigate the effects of a migraine or overcome these. Explain a little bit more about how this works, kind of in layman's terms.
Sure. So the device actually transmits a signal via gentle nerve stimulation, and that signal travels from the upper arm upstream to the brain. It dials in on the brain's pain management centers, and it allows the brain to send descending inhibitory pain signals that may be transmitted by a migraine.
And who is a good candidate for this? I mean, is this kind of universal for anyone who deals with migraines, or is this indicated for a certain segment of that population?
Sure. So right now, the Nerivio is FDA cleared for use in children ages 12 and up,
so
and
specifically,
all adult patients.
Okay, so specifically with this particular age group, particularly with young people in mind. And Courtney, obviously, this can be a game changer because you have really big plans. We mentioned you're a high school senior. You're going to be going on, I'm told, to study nuclear engineering. So, you know, obviously, you need to have all of your mental capacities about you to study that particular field.
Oh yeah, I'm moving on to the University of Michigan, and I gotta have all my marbles with me. I'm gonna be learning about nuclear reactors and all that. So
absolutely, but that's yeah. gonna, but that's gonna be very very exciting, opening up those possibilities that I'm sure at one point or another you wonder about.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I really can't wait to. I mean, because like college is this whole, you know, period of discovery and newfound independence. And to me, that just means I get to have migraine attacks in a different state. Yay.
Well, so, hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully not. It's learning how to manage all of that in a new environment, as well as understand how I fit into that environment myself as a person. So, I mean, I've already made some friends, and I'm excited to be surrounded by people who believe in disability justice and health advocacy and maybe help more people get to know about Nerivio.
That is awesome. Again, Dr. Carissa Thall is a physician certified in advanced headache diagnosis and management. Courtney Clark is a patient and patient advocate. We're talking about migraines in young people. We've mentioned that statistic. More than one in four deal with this. Dr. Thall, where do we get more information about this this treatment?
So both patients and healthcare providers may go to Nerivio.com to get more information.
We will post that link on our webpage as well. Ladies, thank you both for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it is more top-notch live entertainment coming to our area with Tiffin's Ritz Theater announcing their season schedule this week. The Righteous Brothers are the first performance up this season at the Ritz, and they have John Schneider coming to the Ritz. I don't have the full list in front of me because I was expecting Michael to give us all of the details, and so I apologize there. Unfortunately, something has happened technically, and Michael is not a. So the Righteous Brothers is the opening show that coming up in the fall. John Schneider, Asia is one of the highlights. They've got a Yacht Rock review coming up later in the season as well. I think that's after the first of the year. The full complete schedule from the Ritz Theater. Let me see if I can call that up here. On the, this is one of the things you run into when you get into live radio, live broadcasting, is that things can go haywire, and you know, that's what happens. So, the Righteous Brothers, that will be in October, and by the way, it is their farewell tour, the Love and Feelin' farewell tour. October 26th kicks off the season at the Ritz. That'll be followed on November 2nd with John Schneider, Molly Hatchett in November. Also, then the December Christmas show is the Chicago Festival Ballet's Nutcracker performance of the Ritz on December 22nd. Let's see here. The Nobodies of Comedy are back in late January at the Ritz. That is always a popular show. At the Ritz Theater, they have big demand for the Nobodies of Comedy each and every year. Do we have Michael on? Michael, are you there?
Chris?
Yes. Now we can hear you. Can you hear us okay? All right.
Yes, I can now.
So,
yes,
okay. Hi. So there we go. Again, live broadcasting. Sometimes these things happen, so I apologize
for the technical difficulties
there, but good to have you here. So we were mentioning some of the big performances in this year's season, which was announced earlier this week. And I'm curious about this because every venue seems to approach their season of shows a little bit differently.
Yes.
We had the Marathon Center announcing their season earlier in the week.
And they have got a great season.
A great lineup.
A lot of things I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Yeah. But it is a shorter season or fewer big main stage shows that the Marathon Center does. They do a couple of Broadway shows, which is not your forte. You don't do so much. You do more of the music, and as we mentioned, the Nobodies of Comedy are going to be back, those types of shows. What goes into making the decision of, you know, what types of shows are going to work for your venue and how many of them, how extensive the season is, that kind of thing? Because I'm just curious of how all of this works.
Well, as far as Broadway is concerned, simple real estate is the problem with us. Mm-hmm. We don't have a big stage. The Marathon Center is blessed to have a large stage that will accommodate Broadway shows. They're very lucky in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
We have an audience that has become accustomed to the programming that we've been doing at the theater now for some 20 years since I've been there.
Yeah.
And they've come to expect that. So when they come to the buffet, I know what they like. So we put out more of that for them to take care of. We will occasionally offer them a little something different, like the doo-wop project.
Mm-hmm.
And they come to trust us that when we put something out on the buffet, it's going to be good.
And that's, you know, that's one of the other things. And maybe it's one of the benefits that you have because you've been doing it so long and have such a reputation, is that even when you see something pop up on the series, like the doo-wop show, like the Yacht Rock review that we were mentioning, Yacht Rock the Doc, which is coming up next April, Ambrosia, John Ford Coley going to be part of that as well. That even if it's something that they haven't heard of before, they know what they are in for.
Yes. You've got to trust me. You've got to trust me. A certain amount of trust goes into this.
Yeah.
That we're going to bring quality entertainment to the stage and that you will enjoy it. Maybe it's not your genre. Maybe it's not your cup of tea. But it's going to be quality merchandise.
Well, and that's part of it, too, for any venue, is getting a wide variety to appeal to a number of patrons. Because, as we were mentioning, John Schneider, one of the headliners this year, and Molly Hatchett, both in the same month,
yes.
Probably not going to appeal to all of this. I'm sure there's some crossover, but you're probably looking at much different audiences.
Absolutely. John Schneider is that's going to be an interesting crowd. So will Molly Hatchett.
Yeah.
We could have just kept going with the way the programming was 20 years ago and kept selling tickets to the same people over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And we have a challenge. We set a challenge back then to sell not more tickets to the same people, but sell tickets to more people,
mm-hmm.
Different people. And I think we've been pretty successful with that. We've lowered our average audience member in age quite substantially.
Yeah.
And we've gotten our mailing list has grown substantially as well.
Yeah. I'm sure attracting from all over, especially for some of these. Now, again, we mentioned that you don't do a whole lot of the big stage shows. You are doing the Nutcracker, as we mentioned, come Christmas time with the Chicago
Festival
Ballet, yeah. So
we've worked with them for years, and the thing that works with the Chicago Festival Ballet, they are very, very good at taking what usually is a gigantic show and condensing it to fit on our stage and still making it look like an extravaganza, look like a big show.
Yeah. So something for everyone in the series, and we hit some of the highlights. Now, tickets for existing members will go on sale, what, early next month?
The subscription renewals begin July 15th.
Okay.
And if you're not a subscriber and want to be a subscriber, you can buy those tickets on July 29th. We also have something called the Flex Package, where you pick three or more shows that you're interested in coming to, and that begins on August 5th. And single tickets go on sale August 12th.
So those are the dates, and as we mentioned, the full lineup of shows, there are not only the big main stage shows, the big events that we were mentioning, but you also have your Friday Night Live series, you've got the Monday mm-hmm. Night at the Movies series, the Ritz Players will be putting on a number of performances throughout the course indeed. Of the next yeah. season as well. So all of that is up there, and all of those tickets available on the same dates?
Yes, indeed.
All right. Very good. We've got it linked up at our webpage at goodmornings.net. And again, Ritz Theater Executive Director Michael Strong with us this morning to talk about their upcoming season of entertainment, which again begins in October with the Righteous Brothers farewell tour. It's going to be a good show. Michael, thanks
sure
very much.
Will.
Thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Have a great day.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
A man in Texas is in custody after an attempted assault was interrupted by a family of five Taekwondo black belts. This may be the most unfortunate criminal in the world. It happened Tuesday afternoon in suburban Houston when the family that owns and operates the Yong-In Dojo heard screams coming from a neighboring business. The family of five ran next door and witnessed a man assaulting the owner of the business, and the family was quick to jump in and stop the attack. The father, Taekwondo Grandmaster Hong An, was able to hold the suspect for 10 minutes until officers arrived. That's got to be the most unfortunate criminal in the world right there. But on the other hand, you know, if you're going to attack someone, rob their business or what have you, you really should scope out the place. And if it's right next door to a dojo, Taekwondo training center, then probably move on. Well, good for them. I'm glad that whole thing has a happy ending. You remember yesterday in the broken news, the guy who ended up getting sent to prison because he stole a dollar from someone at gunpoint, stole a whole dollar. That was his. Well, apparently this guy in Ruskin, Florida said, hold my beer. Literally in this case, I guess. Adrian Guerrera, 64-year-old from Ruskin, Florida, was recently accused of stealing a beer from a local gas station. And actually, he was pretty obstinate about it, saying that rather than paying for the beer, he'd rather go to jail. Here's the story. He grabbed four 24-ounce cans of beer from the gas station and opened one of them as he was leaving the store. When he was confronted by, without paying for them, when he was confronted by the clerk, Mr. Guerrera admitted to stealing the beers, according to the Polk County Sheriff's Office. The clerk reportedly told Mr. Guerrera that if he paid for them, because he hadn't walked out of the store yet, if he paid for them, then there'd be no problem. We won't call the cops, just pay for them. Mr. Guerrera refused. The clerk told deputies that after grabbing the beers from Mr. Guerrera and telling him to leave, he refused, grabbed another beer, and opened it. He was bound and determined to steal these beers. He told the clerk, quote, I don't want to leave. I'd rather just go to jail. The clerk was happy to oblige, called the cops, and they arrested him for retail theft and took him to jail. He apparently told the police that he was heading to Orlando and got thirsty. That's why he stole the beer. Well, all right then. as a trip to Orlando is going to be delayed somewhat. You're going to be sticking around in Ruskin there for a little while longer. Let's see. A couple of snake stories in the broken news this morning. This one from an Amazon customer that says she found a live snake in her delivery. She had ordered an Xbox, actually an Xbox controller. And when she got the package, she opened it. And there, lo and behold, was a live cobra stuck to the packing tape inside the box. A live cobra stuck to the packing tape. I'm guessing that snake was not too happy at that point. She shared a video of this earlier this week, claiming that she ordered an Xbox controller and received a free snake with it. She accused Amazon of poor transportation and warehousing hygiene. Amazon said they were looking into the what they described as an inconvenience and gave the woman a refund. By the way, now don't be nervous about opening your Amazon packages. This actually happened in India. So snakes, especially cobras, much more common in India than they are here in America. But I would be cautious about ordering anything off of Amazon that is getting shipped from India. It's, I don't know if the snake would survive, but I'm not taking any chances. Not to be outdone, this actually is from this country in Brooklyn. Steve Nahama got more than he bargained for when he found a snake in his bathtub earlier this month. At first, apparently, he thought it was a worm. It turned out to be a corn snake. Not venomous, but they can still bite, as he found out when Mr. Nahama picked up the snake from the bathtub and tried to flush it down the toilet. Ended up getting bitten instead. Gonna flush a snake down the... He said he thought it was a worm, but those... I mean, corn snakes are generally pretty small, but they're not that small, are they? I mean, it was big enough to bite him. He had to go to the emergency room. He did call first responders. They were able to remove the serpent and transport it to a shelter in Queens. It is suspected that the snake came into his apartment through the sewer system. So keep that in mind next time you're in New York. Wow. By the way, Mr. Nahama's finger appears to be just fine. Again, snakes, corn snakes are not venomous, but certainly got his attention, I guess. And finally, in the broken news this morning, of course, women's basketball has been very much in the news over the past year. The ascension of Caitlin Clark into the WNBA and a lot of attention to this new young crop of very talented women's basketball players, really putting the sport of women's basketball on the map. This is not that. This is maybe not the sort of attention that the fans of women's basketball will really want. A women's basketball tournament that was supposed to take place at a school in New Jersey next month has been canceled because of its inappropriate theme. It is the NBA Celebrity Baddies Basketball Contest. And NBA is not what you would think NBA stands for. NBA, in this case, stands for nothing but fill in the blank. Celebrity Baddies Basketball Contest. According to the promotional information, it was supposed to feature women playing the sport in thongs. So you can imagine what the A in NBA, nothing but Celebrity Baddies Basketball Contest. Playing women's basketball in thongs. The spokesperson for the Newark Public Schools, where this was supposed to be taking place, said that the tournament was initially described when it was pitched to them. It was to be a community event, but it has been canceled when they found out just what it was all about. No school or district official approved the activity that was depicted in the video promoting this event, according to Nancy Deering, spokesperson for the Newark Public Schools. tournament organizer, Big Fendi, apologized for the miscommunication. We were doing the event and things went a little out of control, he said. It is unclear if the tournament will be rescheduled at a more appropriate venue. So much for women's empowerment there. That's... Who greenlit this? Who thought this was a good idea? There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
You don't think twice about wearing your seatbelt. Going boating? Real boaters wear a life jacket. It's easy to do. Accidents can happen quickly, and if you're not wearing your life jacket, you won't have time to put it on if it's stowed. So pick a comfortable life jacket and wear it. Remember, life jackets are for everyone, regardless of your age or swimming ability. Have fun, make memories, and boat responsibly. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and U.S. Coast Guard.
This message provided by WFIN.
Time now for your daily download. The numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Is it payday for you? A lot of people get paid on Fridays. And if you're one of those people that frequently deals with the issue of having too much month at the end of the money instead of the other way around, you've heard that expression, right? You are certainly not alone. 45% of Americans start to stress over their bills just 7 days after receiving their paycheck, which, if you get paid weekly, is just in time for the next paycheck. You start to stress. But for those who get paid less frequently, 45% are paid every other week. So if you get paid weekly, you know, that 7-day threshold to stress out is not so big of a deal. But if you're paid every other week or even less frequently, then this becomes a problem. The average respondent loses 5 nights of sleep a month worrying about their finances. This is according to a survey of 2,000 Americans conducted by the financial services app Chime. 59% feel waves of anxiety between pay cycles. 68% of millennials in particular feel this anxiety, known as pay paralysis. So common they even have a name for it. 72% agree that financial wellness is as important to mental health as meditation or mindfulness. So this is impacting our mental health. As to where people spend their paychecks, 72% say paying the bills takes all of their money. 69% will pay the bills as soon as they get paid. 35%, though, wouldn't be able to cover an unexpected expense of $500 or more. And 26% would pay those unexpected expenses by holding off on less important bills, which is kind of interesting. 39% of those, and this is why this is particularly interesting on a Friday, 39% will avoid social events in order to save money because it costs too much. Dasha Kennedy from Chime says it is okay to say no to events or purchases that don't fit your budget. Instead, take the lead with your within your social circle in suggesting group activities using free or low-cost activities to stay connected without, you know, dipping into your budget, money that you may not have. Because chances are good that your other friends who are going out probably are dealing with the same issues as you are, as more than half of Americans are. So something to keep in mind. And this is kind of interesting, sort of a related but separate survey of 2,000 adults. 1 in 4 Americans are now using buy now, pay later services when they shop, probably because money is so tight, 25%. Other things people do to reduce costs of everyday purchases, 50% of consumers look for coupons. 15% will resell items that they own in order to afford to buy new stuff that they need. And 20% of millennials say they open multiple online accounts to receive additional promotions and discounts. Have you ever done that? If you know they offer a special discount for entering your email address and signing up for mailers or whatever. So you do that multiple times to get multiple discounts. Yeah, a lot of people do. My wife, Kyra, has joined us in the studio now for another collection of recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. And I think this is the perfect theme this week because it has definitely been too hot to cook.
Yes. Kyra's not liked doing that much this week. We've been not so good at cooking this week.
Not cooking a lot week, as have, I'm sure, a number of folks. But, you know, the alternative is you go out to eat or, you know, you just
and
have...
And then you feel guilty for the people that are in there cooking.
That's true.
That yesterday. I was like, man. It's like, Kyra, you're not at home cooking, but...
Somebody is.
Yeah, somebody is.
Or your other option is you just have like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or something. Yeah. And nobody wants
lunch
that.
Lunch for dinner.
Yeah, nobody wants a steady diet of that.
No.
So what we have this morning is a collection of recipes for those days, those summer days, those dog days when it is too hot to cook.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
You don't have to turn on the oven for any of these.
No.
All right.
Nope. None.
First of all, we have a recipe for chicken salad pita sandwiches.
Yes. So you get your pita bread, 3 tablespoons of mayo, 2 teaspoons of Dijon mustard, 1 teaspoon of lemon juice, 1 cup of shredded rotisserie chicken, 1/2 apple diced, 1 stalk of celery chopped, salt and pepper to taste, and lettuce is optional.
So you're talking about the rotisserie chicken. You can either buy rotisserie chicken.
Get your rotisserie chicken or if
that's
you don't,
pre-made or,
yes, you could, or a can of chicken.
And you could just do it cold, right? Again, if it's canned,
it's
safe
already
to do cold.
Yeah, your rotisserie chicken is already cold and you can get that in the deli area.
Or you could cook it, but that defeats the whole purpose.
Yes.
So anyway,
this is easy, cool, where you just
grab stuff.
Yes. So then in a medium-sized bowl, mix your mayo, your Dijon, your lemon, your chicken, your apple, your celery, salt and pepper. Slice your pita bread into half to make a pocket. Put a couple scoops of your chicken salad in each of your pockets. Add your lettuce and tomatoes if desired, and enjoy.
Simple as
really
that.
Simple.
Just a real simple chicken salad recipe.
And you can make this chicken salad ahead of time. The other thing that you could do is... if you wanted to, is you could put a couple chicken breasts in the crock pot and just let them cook. And then you're not heating up the house.
Heat up the whole house.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So that would be an option.
You just have to wait for it to get cold. Some people do that. I mean, they make a bunch of chicken and shred it up and then have it for during the week.
Yeah.
So
that's one way
to do it.
But I like the fact that it's a pita sandwich. It's kind of light and airy, just what you want on a really hot day. We have a recipe for marinated tomatoes, which can go on your pita sandwiches or not.
You can put it on the side.
Yep.
Or you can put it, if you want to make a salad, put it on your salad.
There you go.
This is four ripe Roma tomatoes sliced, 1/2 red onion diced, 1 tablespoon of minced garlic, 1/2 cup of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of white wine vinegar, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 1 teaspoon of fresh basil, finely chopped, and salt and pepper to taste. And if you don't have the white wine vinegar, you can always use like an apple cider vinegar, or you could use regular vinegar, but I would recommend adding just a little bit of sugar to get rid of that tart.
Okay.
So arrange sliced tomatoes on a lined sheet pan to make the marinade. Mix the olive oil, the white wine vinegar, the lemon juice, onion, garlic, basil, salt, and pepper in a bowl. Whisk it thoroughly. Pour the marinade over the sliced tomatoes. Make sure all the tomatoes are covered with the marinade. Cover the tomatoes and let them marinate for at least 2 hours in the refrigerator before serving. Flip tomatoes occasionally while they're marinating. Best if consumed within 8 hours, but you can refrigerate this afterwards, and your tomatoes might not be quite as firm.
So, okay, so but, they might get a little soft.
Yeah, they could get a little soft.
But they can be refrigerated for a couple of days.
Yes,
Really important point in the marinade is to flip the tomatoes every so often.
Yes.
So that is a good point that you make. I wanted to make sure we highlighted that.
Kind yes.
of, put the virtual highlighter on that. Yes,
put that. Yeah, you definitely want to do that.
Yeah. And then for dessert, we have a recipe for no-bake Reese's Crispy Cookies.
Yes.
And when we say no-bake, it's kind of with an asterisk here because you may have to use the microwave.
You have to use the microwave.
If nothing else.
Yeah.
So
yeah, got to use the microwave.
That. All right.
So 4 cups of Rice Krispie cereal, 1 cup of light corn syrup, 1 cup of granulated sugar, 1¼ cup of creamy peanut butter, 5 regular size Reese's peanut butter cups, and 1/2 cup of milk chocolate chips. So line a baking sheet with parchment paper, set that aside, place your Rice Krispie cereal in a large mixing bowl. Then in a large microwave safe bowl, combine your corn syrup, your sugar, your peanut butter, cook on high heat for 2 to 3 minutes, stirring every 30 seconds. So what I do is I just set mine for 30 seconds and
do that like 4 or 5 times.
Do that 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
You know, it's just safer.
It's easier.
Yeah. I mean, I can see 2 to 3 minutes setting that timer and
forgetting about it.
Yeah,
because you don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So stir every 30 seconds until your mixture is evenly combined. And it, you know, may not take the 2 to 3 minutes. It just depends, you know, on your
microwave. Microwave is different.
Just like every oven.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So pour peanut butter mixture over cereal, add the chocolate chips and combine. Wait a couple minutes. Let that mixture cool before you add your chopped Reese's cups, because you want some of the texture of that Reese's cup.
You don't want them to fully melt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So wait, I mean, two minutes or so, just enough to let it cool for a little bit.
Okay.
Then mix in your crushed Reese's peanut butter cups. This will help avoid the cups from melting.
Mm-hmm.
Spoon your cereal mixture out with an ice cream scoop onto the lined baking pan that you already have set. Let them cool. Then use your hand. Let them cool a little bit more. Then use your hand just to or if they're cool, that works. Just kind of pat them down a little bit so they look like a cookie, not a scoop. So you want them to look like a cookie.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Because these are not like your no-bake cookies that kind of flatten on their own.
Yeah, okay.
So, so you want to...
obviously, you're not baking them, so they're not going to flatten.
Correct.
And they're not the cubes.
Correct.
You know, that you sometimes have like Rice Krispie treats.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
All right.
So slighten them a little bit and then let them set completely and enjoy.
There you go. So the recipes for the chicken salad pita sandwiches, the marinated and the no-bake Reese's Crispy Cookies are there, again, with the asterisk, because you're going to use the microwave, but that's not really cooking, right?
Yeah, no.
You're not really
you're
cooking.
You're melting
You're
some
doing
chocolate.
Something in the microwave. You're doing anything in the microwave. You're not really cooking.
Yeah.
Anyway, those recipes are on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, at Kyra's Kitchen WFIN. On Facebook is where you find it, or you can go to goodmornings.net and we have the link there to Kyra's Facebook page, the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, where you can find all of those recipes. My wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Once again, that is goodmornings.net. You can also connect with us on social media, sign up for our daily email newsletter, and more. Again, bookmark our page. Check back every day. There's always something new. Goodmornings.net. Coming up Monday on the program, our conversation with Findlay Mayor Christina Mern from the U.S. Conference of Mayors annual meeting that is happening over the weekend in Kansas City. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out, make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.